And Mike, real radio for real people who are real enough to realize they really still have a few things to figure out. Jones is a hockey-playing, city-living, vegan bachelor who practices transcendental meditation when he's not biking to shows and Cub games. Mike's a beer-swilling married father of four from suburbia. His motorcycling, marathoning, and martial arts are pretty much on the shelf while he limos children all over town to their activities for the next decade.
Sound familiar?
It's, you know, shit dudes say. About family,
women,
philosophy,
politics,
history,
people,
money,
pop culture,
kids,
fighting,
business,
life.
Join the conversation. 312-957-7210. Hashtag Jones and Mike. 24/7 worldwide at jonesandmike.com.
This hour, the new girl at work thinks Jones stinks. Will you consent to being a cyborg to keep your gig? And Jones takes anti-aging to new heights.
This is Jones and Mike. Jones and Mike.
Jones, I believe that the ship has sailed on me being daddy in a good way to the younger chicks in my office. I don't think I'll ever be able to pull it off now.
Why? Have you tried?
Well, no, but the other day, it kind of, our relationship crossed over into one where they were poking fun at my age. I don't know, maybe you tell me. Maybe that's like the first sign of like, they're starting to dig it.
They might be. That might be the right time where you just come out with your daddy.
So when they were like making fun of my flannel button-down shirts or just, you know, kind of, and they were actually like really lame-o, like when you got married back when, like, you know, there wasn't telephones, like, you know, like just little digs like that. And I'm like, huh, what does all this mean?
But it could be one of those things. It could be like that playground thing. You know, you tease the girl that you like. They're now starting to be open to that difference. They may be pointing at that difference because they want you to start playing with it. It might be the raw. It might be the perfect opportunity.
That's when I should have pulled it
out. Own it and just come back like, look, daddy wears flannel. Get used to it, ladies.
I know.
That's not to say
that
maneuver, you know, your daddiness is a guarantee or it is a lock. I mean, there are certain things that can happen during the course of one's day, one's week, one's month or year that there could be a shift that's created.
Yes.
And then maybe you fall a step out of daddiness.
I fall a step out of it.
You could take a step back from your daddiness with the younger ladies of being that older man that can play with that older man reputation and get away with it. And I may have slipped up this week on my daddiness with a new girl who came into the office who I didn't know how the daddiness would play out. And at one point, jokingly smiled when I held back on telling a story, and she said, oh, come on, you can tell me. I'm one of daddy's bitches.
What?
So at that point, I'm like, this is infallible.
God. Dude, did you get a little aroused by that? That would arouse
me. Nah, it's just something.
That's pretty hot, dude.
I just got, you know.
One of daddy's bitches?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Now, so I've owned this daddy game.
See, that's the thing. I'm not trying to bang these women.
Well,
but,
I'm not
saying... You could be on the Penis World Tour in your office.
Yeah, no, you're right.
I mean, theoretically.
No, I know what you're saying. Like, it wouldn't cost me anything. I wouldn't have turning into an ex-wife.
You can totally take the game to, like, the next level.
Right.
And that's what's so exciting.
I know. I understand
that. I just kind of want them to kind of not make fun of me and kind of dig me a little bit. Well, and I want to know that they dig me a little bit.
Owning your daddiness is the first step. Now, let me tell you a tale of woe that you're going to want to be careful to avoid going forward.
Right. Yeah, you're the canary in the daddy coal mine.
Possibly my daddiness took a hit with one of the ladies at work this week. It was lunchtime, and three of the 20-somethings went to lunch together and left the new 20-something behind, and it was just myself, and the owner left as well. So it was myself, the new 20-something, and then the owner and the other three 20-somethings went to lunch.
Oh.
So I'm just sitting there, just, you know, typing away, doing my thing. She's working, typing away, doing her thing. We're not talking. And then, funny enough, the music died. We have like a little setup where they have like a Sonos system, and then it just the music kind of died and it wasn't playing.
But what is it? What do you all typically play?
It varies. Sometimes they're playing some lighter alternative rock. A lot now has been 60s, like oldies, which has been fine actually. That's kind of worked out all right. So the music died down, and then it was just the sound of us just quietly tapping away at our keyboard. And we don't talk a whole lot, so we're just sitting there. And then at one point, it happened. I was just sitting there, and I coughed. And then something happened.
Oh, no!
So as I'm sitting there, this is if you will allow me to, I will do a reenactment.
Okay.
And then more silence.
Oh, no! No!
And I just sat there and I kind of froze and I thought, oh, man, would she have heard that? Because she was also having lunch, too. So she's eating chips.
Oh, no!
She's eating chips. So I'm thinking, because sometimes when you're eating potato chips, it's like, and it kind of knocks out your hearing a little bit, the crunching, the
active
chewing.
Praying, you're reaching,
yes.
There's no
way.
So
I'm thinking to myself.
She did not go like, was that a Pringle?
So I'm thinking to myself, maybe she didn't hear that. I'm not going to say anything.
So well, right. You don't go like, excuse me. No. Like, what year is this?
I know. So I go back to work and I'm just typing away. And then all of a sudden it starts weighing on me. So like a minute later, I pick up my phone and I texted the other 320-somethings.
No.
And I went, I just coughed and a fart slipped out.
Oh, no.
Hopefully Sarah didn't hear it.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So one of the girls texts back and goes, oh, my God, ha, ha, ha. I hope she did and tells us in secret. The other girl just types back and goes, ha, 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 laughing. And then the third 20-something goes, she did. She just texted me.
Oh, Jesus Christ, really?
Now, I didn't believe that. I thought, no, you're tweaking me. You're tweaking me.
Yeah.
And the other girl texts, because they're all at lunch together. She goes, I'd be more worried that the smell would linger into her cube. And the other 20-something chimes in and goes, you should apologize to her. I go, my farts don't smell, organic. Because I'm still thinking like, no, they're tweaking me. She's new. She didn't just
text
these. Yeah,
she's not
going
to be like week three of my job.
Like week two. Yeah,
yeah, but I text someone.
Became full time like
a week ago.
And be like
the senior in more ways than one member of the team just farted in front of me. Right. I thought I'd let you know.
Right. So then one of the 20-something sends me a screen capture that says, oh my God, I think Brian just farted.
But
to the girls. So they were proving to me, like, no.
But you could tell it was from her. It was her number.
Yes, no,
or
it was,
whatever.
Yes. It's all because it has the little names.
That can be generated.
No, it has all the little names next to it.
Oh, no.
So then I go, I text back to the girls having lunch. I go, well, now I can't say anything now. I was hoping that the chips she was chewing on would have drowned it out. If she brings it up, I'll deny it and just tell her she's hearing things.
Dude, why did you come clean to the other three?
Because it doesn't really matter. Everybody's pretty gross among those three. That's fine. This
really?
Is just a new girl.
Did they talk about that kind of stuff?
I mean, they joke about it.
Oh, man.
So, then I text back, or one of the girls texts back. She goes, she won't bring it up. She's scared of you.
She's scared of you.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe being new or whatever. So then I see I text back to them. I go, well, it's been too silent for too long. I'm not saying anything. You know, and then I just jokingly go, why did we have to make her a permanent employee? So then after that whole text exchange, it just goes back to this. For 45 minutes.
Oh, my God.
No music. No talking,
oh,
no referencing
man.
Anything. And I know now that my whole was exposed.
Wait a second now. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Why didn't the first thing that would have come to my mind is I have to replicate that scenario again, only with a different sound to throw her off the scent, so to speak.
So that be like...
Yeah,
oh, damn chair.
Yeah.
Like that? I didn't.
Or
think.
I would have coughed and then made a sound.
No. Oh, I didn't think. I wouldn't have thought of it. Right. As soon as I went. I thought to myself, it was one of those things like when you see a small kid fall and you go, just don't react. Don't react. It'll be fine. And I just thought, well, sure, she's eating her potato chips. She wouldn't know. She wouldn't hurt. I'll just be quiet.
Oh,
it's fine.
Man.
It's fine. So we just sit there in silence.
Oh, no.
For like 45 minutes. And we don't say anything.
And the whole time you know that she knows because she has texted someone.
She's texted the girl saying, oh my God, I think Brian just farted. So now so much time has gone past, I can't possibly reference it.
Yeah, you can't be like, pardon me.
And it does feel weird, and it does feel like an older man thing to be like, I coughed in the fort.
I didn't even mean it. I didn't even know I did it.
No, I was doing my body did this other thing, and then it did this other thing I didn't mean to do.
My anus is that loose.
Yes,
I have no idea what it's doing.
That's exactly what I thought. Like, oh, my sphincter is getting looser with age. So I didn't want, you know, I was like, I just didn't want to say anything. So I was like, well, maybe, I don't know. Maybe she's second guessing if she heard that or not.
Dude, so you should have challenged her and been like, Daddy, did you hear Daddy fart?
Yeah, can you keep up with Daddy? I did. I was just.
Now it's your turn.
Right. So I didn't say anything. For 45 minutes, we sit there in silence, just tapping keyboards. No music, no nothing, no talking at all. And the girls come back. They don't really say anything. And I'm just thinking to myself, oh, how long is this going to go on? So then several hours go past and we still haven't spoken a word to one another. And then at some point, then I kind of knew she heard and knew that she thought it was gross because at one point I sneezed and it was kind of a wet sneeze.
Oh, Jesus.
And then she was like, you are disgusting.
No.
And like barks it out. So I'm like, oh, she definitely heard. They weren't messing with me in the text. She's not doubting what she heard. So that was my.
And now she's taking you to task on other bodily functions.
Right, exactly.
That are actually more socially acceptable.
So now I feel. I don't think my daddiness is gone. But.
I do.
Do I, for this one particular girl, do I have to double down on my grossness and then act as though it's part of my daddiness?
Yeah,
because daddiness,
I don't even know what that means.
Daddiness comes from ownership. So maybe I just start like really belting out belches or something. Be like, oh
man,
Daddy loves Pepsi or whatever
man.
It would be.
No way. Okay, and another thing. Okay,
would I be a fool to double down on another fart?
First of all, I would have asked the girls to cover for me. I can't believe you didn't ask them to, like, hey, just say that that you never would have done that. She must be mistaken.
Well, and let's see. What did
first of all, I never would have gone to them and come clean. I just would have deny. Always deny.
Well, here's the thing, though.
Especially that.
Well, maybe I could have done that because they followed up on the, oh, my God, I think Brian just farted with, no way does it smell. So in a way, they were kind of denying, like, no way.
And and what's with this it doesn't smell organic stuff? The vegans have to be the stinkiest of all. There's no way.
So.
Animal protein is like death smelling?
Well, it's all you're pushing out all those chemicals and all the hormones.
Bovine
and stuff
steroids,
you're
growth hormone.
Yeah.
You think that that's because I think the opposite. I think of all of the weird, you know, seaweed products that you're eating
that's causing
some weird gases.
Major food companies that are getting inside your head that make you think like organic is gross and weird.
Interesting.
That's what I think.
I don't know. When I think of you, I think of that efficiency, that Spartan efficiency that guy lives in on the Gold Coast.
Right.
That has to be one stank-ass place on a Sunday morning.
I don't think that it is.
That thought crosses my mind all the time.
That's a weird thought to have. That's a very weird thought to have.
But it is efficient enough where if you had to air it out, you got some killer crossbreeze windows.
Yes, I do. Yep. Yeah, that's not a problem.
Total east to west, fabulous exposure there.
I was doing that today.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, I mean, in a matter of minutes, you're ready for an amorous night.
Indeed I am. Indeed I am. So now, is there something that I can do days later?
Yeah.
Since I just sat in silence, since I just sat in my own stink in silence.
That's right. Since you, yeah. You see, that's the thing that concerns
hours on
me.
End.
Like, what, this idea of doubling down on grossness, I think that's, I mean, like, what is the rap that Bill O'Reilly's facing right now? Not that you're Bill O'Reilly, but like, whatever he's facing, you're going to face worse if you continue down this path, I think. Like, this sounds like harassment if somebody wanted to paint it as such.
What, coughing and farting?
Well, you know, well, this is how her suit will read. This is how some lawyer will type it up. That you, it started with an innocent fart, and then it turned, but even that, there was a certain aggression to it. And then the aggression continued as the days wore on, and then you became more and more abusive with your flatulence and with your belching. And okay. With your sneezing, and then all of a sudden, the honks and the wheezes and the blows were too much for her to stand, and she ran out terrified, Your Honor.
It sounds far-fetched, but from a legal perspective, it does not sound that far-fetched.
But because, you know, obviously you're publicly declaring that you may double down on the flatulence. So that's you know,
well, yes,
hard to take you seriously right now. But on the other hand, if you do go on onward and downward, I have real fears for you.
So then what's my course of action?
The next time that you let something slip, I think you either say, excuse me,
okay,
or you say
so
something. But yeah, that feels like something.
Excuse me.
Like it's 18, you know, 97.
That's where my gut reaction and maybe my inner daddiness was like, don't say anything.
Today on the sideline of my kid's soccer game, there were two soccer games hours apart. I stopped off and I'll tell you more about my sojourn out to this city later on. But I did stop and get some malt liquor for game number two. And so I had a King Cobra in like a giant Hawks cup while I watched game number two. And at one point I did burp and I realized that there was a mom sitting a few feet away. And I did roll out the old 1897 line, excuse me. I even thought to myself, like, what is that? Where did that come from?
Wait, I just want to double back to you were drinking malt liquor. At your son's soccer game?
But
what is wrong with you?
It was a long day. It was a road trip. And I'll tell you more about it in a few
minutes.
A King
Cobra?
But I stopped off, got a King Cobra, and enjoyed the hell out of it. And enjoyed the hell out of game number two, frankly. Outside of belching in front of a mom and then saying, excuse me.
Are there any other dads alongside you drinking malt liquor?
No, not in this bunch.
It just seems like an odd choice.
Well, to drink beer or because it was malt liquor?
Well, it just seems extra bummy. It would be weird that you're just cracking open beers at your kid's game, but like to be malt liquor seems extremely pointed.
Well, okay.
They're only sold at the lowest of convenience.
Okay, fine. Now you're painting me in a corner. So we got up at 5:30 in the morning. We left at 6:08. We drove to Rockford, Illinois for my 8-year-old son's club soccer tournament. And he had a game at 8 a.m. They put the team, you know, from the land of milk and honey in the 8 a.m. slot. Probably the league organizers out there or the tournament organizers were like, yeah, let's make the rich kids drive out here at 8 a.m. And so that sucked. We, you know, and of course, like I underestimated the time. So like we were late getting there or whatever. So he runs on the field at like 8:01 and starts playing. And so the game ends up at 9. We go, we grab a little Egg Harbor all as a team and then bummed around town afterward. And I ended up in Love's Park, which is just, it's decrepit. It's horrible. Like Rockford's a land that time forgot, but Love's Park is the ghetto that the time forgot. It's horrible. It's like bowling alleys, like burned out bowling alleys from the 40s, and it's liquor stores. And it's taverns that you do not want to go into. And some of this is that I'm just kind of soft now in my older age and living out here in the land of milk and honey. But this was a kind of a scary place. And I was looking for like a jewel or something to like go into a normal grocery store. And I couldn't find any. So finally I saw this place. It was called like the Bottle Collection or something. And it looked like ratty, but I swung in there. I, against my better judgment, brought the 8-year-old in. And there were some fabulous Muslim women in there that were all too happy to sell me my malt liquor, but the place was gross and dirty, and they were super friendly and smiley. And I got the feeling, because we were the first people that had sauntered into that place, that like had teeth and didn't have dirt on our face in decades. So I got my malt liquor and I went on my way. But so you're right. It was extra ghetto, but that's all they had at the Bottle Collection. And it ended up, you know, not agreeing with me entirely. And I ended up belching in front of a woman.
And you handled
similar
it,
to
yes.
you. But I did it as a gentleman. I just went, all right, I'm going to have to acknowledge this. I can't be just standing here with a Hawks mug, clearly drinking malt liquor, and then not acknowledge the belch.
Right.
So I acknowledged it. And then, you know, we'll see if she's nice to me the next time I see her.
How robust was the belch? Was it significantly robust?
It was not bad at all. It was not, you know, I didn't like accentuate it, obviously. It definitely kind of slipped out the way yours did.
It happens.
But I think I've been in that situation where I try to like, again, quickly try to replicate it again, like with a noise or something. And it's probably never successful. In fact, I probably look even more pathetic. Oh, look at him trying to replicate that, what he just did.
So at least my course of non-action trumped that. Maybe not, it wouldn't have trumped acknowledging it. But at the same point, that just seemed like something I did not want to do, to sit there and go, excuse me. It just seemed weaker, lower energy.
I think that, like, I can't believe you kind of broke character, dude. Like, you should have been like, you know, well, Daddy didn't mean for you to hear that.
I know, but it was
unexpected. You wilted under the pressure.
Yeah, I didn't know. I coughed, and you don't even think, coughing and sneezing is not even something you think about doing. Your body just does it. And then when your body, have you ever sneezed and farted? That hurts.
Yeah, I don't I try to...
At the same time, just... Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, my butt, dude, I'm not a fan of the butt stuff, bro. Like, well, I don't like joking about it. I don't even really like talking about it.
I'm very considerate.
I don't like...
Wait a minute!
Well, wait, what I do with
wait
you
a minute.
And what I do with everybody
you,
else is totally different.
You farted in a man's face. You farted in my face.
That was 25 years ago.
No, you farted in my place on the regular. You farted in my face the last night we were playing poker here.
What?
Which is like
different.
3 weeks ago.
That's just guys paling around with guys.
You farted bare-assed on a man's face.
Stop.
And sprayed him in the face.
This is all being cut. But... with my family, with my wife, we're not the type of couple that we walk around and do that stuff. And I love her for that. I'm glad that she doesn't do that, and I do not do that. I don't go out of my way to do it. Let's put it that way.
I've seen you do a couple lawnmower starts.
Okay. You know what? I'm not comfortable with this line of questioning.
Of all the lines of questioning that we've had over 4 years, this is the first time that you're feeling uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's the butt stuff. I don't want to talk about the butt stuff, honestly. So I think that you should have either stayed in character and done the daddy thing over the top then. Now is not the time for you to be asserting, like, welcome to the company. I'm the guy who abuses his coworkers with all these bodily functions.
Well, regardless of the bodily functions, I have some daddy work cut out for me this week because I really want to get back to establishing that. So not that I know I've lost it, but I want to be aware of it. This is no time to take a nap.
And then, it shocks me then that like you can be kind of gross, I guess, with these other three. And there still is that kind of... daddies, bitches, and all of that, that kind of like, I guess, kind of quasi-pseudo-sexual attention, weird stuff that's going on.
When you're working in a completely female-dominated office, there's a lot of time of the month talk.
What?
Pretty open and exchanging of, do you have a tampon? I'm out.
What?
That stuff happens. Oh,
Your place is ridiculous, dude.
But it's just out and open in the regular, that. So that's not that.
What kind of women are sitting around talking about menstrual?
Just young
menstruation.
Women. Hey, we're talking about a generation where men are women and women are men.
Dude, that is so bizarre. Maybe I work
I'm just used to the last of its type,
but like people don't fart where I work, and there certainly is no tampon talk. And there's really no fraternization of any kind, really.
Yeah.
It's like Dean Wormer's dream.
You work as strange of a place I may be currently employed on a different spectrum, your place is as strange, if not more so.
Oh, without a doubt, and we'll delve into that more in the days and weeks to come. It is, I think this week you summed it up perfectly and called it a cult.
Yes.
And you're not wrong.
Yeah.
You're not wrong at all.
My place is just a dirty dish rag. Your place is a cult.
Well, but the cult has some, it has potential to be even worse than what we've even seen or heard or felt so far.
Oh, of that I have no doubt.
Yeah, and there are early signs that it could be a truly scary place. We've seen the future, Jones. We don't like the future.
Yeah.
Daddy does not like what's coming up.
In a world of beaten down middle-aged men,
frizzy panty waists,
and triggered snowflakes,
two dudes
say the shit you say,
think,
and feel.
And now,
we're ready to blow this shit up.
Announcing Jones and Mike
version 2.0.
Coming to a phone,
car,
or computer near you.
Live video and audio.
Anywhere you are.
Anywhere you like it.
Anytime you need it.
Words that sear through your mind like tiny little missiles of brutal truth that make you go, or freeing men from the malaise of middle age,
giving women the straight dope on what their dudes think.
It's the sh** dudes say
that women want to hear.
Go to www.patreon.com/JonesandMike.
P-A-T-R-E-O-N.
Patreon.com/JonesandMike.
Support the show.
Join our community.
Get rewards.
And help save Spaceship Earth from the hordes of fake news bullshit artists.
Dude Say with Jones and Mike
launches when we reach our first goal of just $100 a month.
Get the show for not much dough.
Dude Say with Jones and Mike.
Rated M for mature audiences.
Coming soon.
Jones, where I work, we have badges, and we have to swipe our bashes everywhere we go in the building. Like, to open doors, you have to always swipe a badge. And you would think it's like the government, like we work for, like, the Pentagon. So, but it's not very high-level stuff where I work, not really. So it does seem strange that we have this high-level security, but everywhere you go, You have this little badge, and they're like on like these retractable little cables,
right.
And you have to swipe into to any room you go into. And there are conference rooms everywhere that are video equipped and audio equipped, obviously. But it doesn't feel that icky. You probably on some level you think from time to time, well, anything I say in here can and will be recorded. But it doesn't really get in your head all that much. You just think, oh, I'm in a room that has a video camera. It's potentially, if I want to have a certain conversation with a coworker or with my wife or whatever, I might want to take it outside or whatever. But I have noticed that the building is set up to keep you in the building. Like, people don't really leave for lunch or whatever. They feed us there and stuff. So you enter, you know, you enter the mothership in the morning, and then you leave at night. And then the rest, the whole time is you're in the mothership. Everything you need is there. There's a mail room. There's a fitness center. They feed you. They feed you multiple meals a day. There's game rooms. There's like anything that like, a 20 to like 50 year old would need. There's
right.
Nail salon. There's everything there.
A nail salon.
Yeah, there's massage therapists. There's all sorts of stuff. There's sleep pods. Like, they've done everything they can to keep you in that building.
And do you think they use those cards within that building to kind of chart behavior and go, if we have these amenities, we've noticed they come in at this time and they don't leave till this time. So this is what we found that the humanoids really like. This will keep them on track.
Yeah, I mean, there are times when I think like, well, maybe they want to know where people are in case there's a disaster or a fire or something. Who's in the atrium? Who's in the, you know, who's up in the cafeteria? What floor? I mean, can they find where we are? I mean, it's just like a little card. And some people, like the full-timers, have their faces on it. I have a big red badge called a C, with a C on it, for contractor. And then there's a, like a, there is like a kind of an Animal Farm feeling to that, where like the people who are red badges, sometimes we feel less than, and we are kind of subjugated. And there are certain things that we can't do that other people can every now and then. But for the most part, it doesn't feel that Orwellian. It just kind of feels, it feels actually pretty normal. But I know that this is kind of, the potential, it has the potential to spiral quickly out of control.
This is the start of it.
That's right. That's right. And I can't believe that, in the whole world that, like, if there are nefarious things happening in the workplace, and it's not happening there at that company. And in my building, we're not the worst.
Right. Well, there's a firm in Sweden I was reading about this week. There's an article. There's an ABC News article. There is a, in Stockholm, there's a company called Epicenter, and they are now fitting their employees with microchips that would go right inside of, like, the, it looks as though they're showing the x-ray. It looks like the webbing in between your thumb and your index finger. Oh. They're putting in a little chip, and you just use that to just swipe by as you're walking past the door, and the door will open for you. If you want to get into a certain office, the chip will allow you to enter. If you want to make a purchase at some vending machine, you just use the chip. And 150 of these employees have signed up for this, have gotten the chip. And now when there are new employees or employees that have been at the firm that are now deciding to get the chip, they are now throwing parties for these people.
They're throwing
parties? Like a chip party. Like, you got a chip, we got a chip. And then there's kind of a celebration.
Whoa,
so you talk about being on the in crowd. You feel like you're not on the in crowd because you're a contract employee versus a full traditional permanent employee. Now this company, Epicenter in Stockholm, Sweden, you can either be a chipped employee or a non-chipped employee. And the chipped employees get parties. The non-chipped employees don't.
Oh, man.
And it reminds me. Last year, I remember telling you about this podcast I was listening to called Limetown. It was a fictitious a fictitious story of this company that was really like a government operation. It was a city company, so to speak. So it was this city that everyone worked within this same company, and people within this little city or town, I should say. Some people were implanted with this device that would allow them to tap into other people's minds who also had the device, so they could just look at one another and know what each other was thinking and saying, and they wouldn't have to speak. So if you walked into the office of your boss who has a chip and you have a chip, as soon as you walked in, if he just looked over at you and just thought, get out, I'm busy, you would know, get out, he's busy.
I would get that all the time. I know. So, I can actually kind of feel that when people want to say that to me, they don't have to say it.
Right. You have your own personal chip implant. Mm-hmm. So the story of Limetown then goes, it was this same thing. It was this post, it became this kind of post-apocalyptic thing. But within the story of Limetown, when people got the implant, there was this big celebration, and there was kind of a jealousy of the implants and the non-implants.
I listened to that. What happened to that podcast?
They just did it. That's what almost makes it cooler. They just did six eerie podcasts that completed the story, and then they didn't go back to it. And they don't update the Facebook page. Because at the end of the story, it's the people who have heard about the story are now on the run. And it just kind of, it's almost like a mic drop. And then all of a sudden, the social media, everything stopped for it. I really like that. That's creepy.
Well, right. And that's now, wasn't that part of the story? They all disappeared, like, overnight? Like,
yes.
Hundreds of people?
So the creators, everything, it's just disappeared. It's done. Now, to dovetail back to this, that just reminded me when I'm seeing this thing in the Swedish company where people are having parties and like, hey, I can go through chink chink. I can go through this door. I can buy those Cheetos. It reminded me of Limetown, and I thought, oh my God, this stuff is happening right now. And additionally, I had read an article earlier in the week. I think it was the Daily Mail. And now Sony is developing a contact lens that will allow you to record audio and visual of what, you know, of what you're seeing and experiencing. And they're pumping it out there as... Yes?
What?
Did, please?
What? Oh, excuse me.
Okay, yes, thank you. It was either you say excuse me or you go, like, at least if that was your thing, then don't disrespect me. You know, you sat there and drank Old English or
King Cobra.
King Cobra, yeah. At your kid's soccer game, burped in front of some mom you don't know and apologized. Yeah. You just farted in front of me and didn't say anything after you just got done chastising me about it in the last segment.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Move on.
Continue.
But I'm offended. So Sony now has this contact lens that they're developing. And the idea behind it is you can record what you see and what you're hearing and record the events of your life as they happen to you.
What?
But now between what's going on at this company in Stockholm, Sweden, where you put the chip in the webbing of your fingers so you can get inside of doors and people can monitor you and you can swipe when you want a bag of Cheetos, to now putting in a contact lens that will record everything that you're seeing and hearing, I'm now thinking, wow, we're now willfully turning ourselves into cyborgs. Here we go with, and it's always Jones and the AI talk, but here we are willfully doing this, putting the chips in our fingers and having parties, putting the little contact lenses that record everything we experience into our eyeballs and recording them, and who knows what. I'll just put them in. That'll be the next step as well. And it's great because you can just record everything you experience and it'll just go inside the cloud.
And how does that work? Like,
I don't know. But they have like little
lens
rings.
Will record your little audio?
They have little rings inside the contact lens that don't disturb your vision but record everything.
But so you have to, like, in the morning, you have to put in your magic eyeballs and then...
Yes.
Okay. But so it'll be only a matter of time before that is like a LASIK, you know,
surgery.
Add-on.
So you never have to think about it.
Right.
You're all set.
Oh, my God.
So now you can imagine the implications of this good and bad. But when you just look at the bad... I now start to think, okay, well, is it really bad? And I'm not going back on my anti-AI-ness, but I've now started to hear this theory be kicked around and postulated.
Yeah.
That good perhaps work. This is the next part of our evolutionary process. Now, you know, from a few weeks back, I was kind of ripping on evolution, a few weeks, a couple months back.
Yeah, time's flying.
Where I was saying, you know, hey, I was just throwing this idea out there, and some people have really taken me to task on it seriously.
Oh, that infuriates people. Do your homework when you talk about
science.
No,
but I've gotten this from a number of people I know where I can tell that they really were taking me like whole hog on it. But I just put out the idea like, okay, well, if evolution is such a thing, how come we don't see like cattle with wings and stuff? Because they're in mid-transition.
Well, that's just dumb.
But
why would a cow need wings?
Well,
evolution would be like,
listen,
you know, and you would like a little minor tweak happens because the animal needs it to, in order to survive.
Evolution would tell us that whales used to walk on land. So why did they... So you would have looked at that creature with legs and go, why would it not need legs and just live in the water? Mm. That's evolution.
Yeah, yeah.
So now that I'm seeing the chips in the webbing of our fingers and then the contact lenses that record everything, we're willfully turning ourselves into cyborgs. Could that just be part of our evolutionary process? If you go back and you are to believe that at one time we were just cells and amoebas and we were just kind of shaking around in a little puddle of water.
Yes, that never happened.
And then we started to grow out.
That's
and then became a Neanderthal man and Paleolithic man and all of this. And now we are who we are. Could that be just the process? We are now part of this evolutionary process ourselves. Where will we will become more like cyborgs, more robotized, more mechanical.
Right, right.
I mean, you think about, like, it's crazy when you look at, say, something like Terminator. And whenever you talk about AI, people are like, oh, so it's the war of the machines, like Terminator, and they kind of rip on you. But it's funny when you go back and you see what that movie was and how many times in history now we've seen where things that were written about that were fictitious stories that really started 20, 30 years later, they came into being. And now, you know, there was that line in Terminator where, you know, whatever it was on August 15th, 1997, the machines became aware. You know, and now you're wondering, we're putting all this crap into us.
Yeah, yeah.
When can something inside of us suddenly become aware. Well, I mean, you're able to put it, you can medically put an electronic pulse through someone and get their arm to move and to react.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People now, if we're inserting chips and things into our eyeballs,
right.
How far off are we?
Well, you know? and so that's what people will do. They'll ridicule your position by making it seem like it's going to be literally an overnight thing where all of a sudden there will be robots and humans coexisting. But no, it's a very subtle overtime thing where they're going to be introducing cars that drive by themselves very right. shortly. In fact, article this week, Elon Musk, who I think is either from the future or from another planet, or maybe both.
Is he an engineer? That's a thing now, too.
He's an engineer.
Alien species that are called engineers.
Oh. Okay. I'm down with that. He is not one of us. He is definitely not one of us. Elon Musk article on CNBC this week. Humans must merge with machines or become irrelevant. In the AI age, he isn't, at the end of this little brief article, his quote is, "The most near-term impact from a technology standpoint is autonomous cars. This is going to happen much faster than people realize, and it's going to be a great convenience. But there are many people whose jobs are to drive. In fact, I think it might be the single largest employer of people, driving in various forms. So we need to figure out new roles for what do those people do. But it will be very disruptive and very quick." And so it's like, on the one hand, very refreshing. Well, thank you very much for thinking about the fact that, 700 million people worldwide are about to be put out of work, and it's very sweet of you to be imagining, well, what are we going to do with all those people? But that's a very existential question, an essential question, a crucial question, don't you think, Elon? And all of you other ghouls that are making up this technology, it's like, what the hell do we do with all these people? What are we going to do with all of them? So there's that question. And then there's the, okay, well, one day there's going to be autonomous cars and we're going to have this problem with these people, et cetera. And then there's going to be these contact lenses. And very slowly over the span of the next 20 years, every few months and every year, there's going to be these other advances until, and now they're making it where we have to merge with machines in order to get perks. But pretty soon it will be, do you even get the job if you haven't merged with
yes.
with the machines yet? I can see a day in my lifetime where I can't find a job. Like a person who doesn't have a certain degree, you won't be able to get a decent job if you haven't voluntarily merged with machines yet.
I can absolutely see that. I don't know. I think we're too far along in life where it will have a major, major impact on us.
I don't know about that,
but
man.
I could see. I mean, I think your children will have to make a choice.
Oh, I hear you there. We're like, you know, if it's 20 years from now when that day really, really arrives, you know, I'll be able to see the light at the end of the tunnel by then, and I can go like, okay, well, you know, Daddy's just going to scrape along.
We'll just work
and
at
limp
like
to
Frank's
the finish
nursery
line
and crafts and be cashiers or something.
That's right. I'll just get some job somewhere that's like they don't want to. They can, of course, have a bot do it, but it's too expensive or something.
Yes.
They still need losers like me who haven't merged with the infinite or something by then with the cloud.
Right.
But I do see that my children are going to have that issue, and I've actually had discussions with my 8-year-old about it. And he right away thin sliced it, and he's like, well, I'll just be the guy who fixes the machines then. And I'm like, okay, great, good. I'm pretty sure they're going to have machines that fix the machines, but at least you've kind of gone like, oh, well, I guess I'll just have to be the guy who's making the machines. Cool. Okay, all right. I'm glad you're not freaked out by it. That's kind of a refreshing approach to it. Yeah. But I can see a day where he really is struggling with that. Should I merge with machine? What if he merges with the cloud, and then does that change our relationship? Because I kind of do view that stuff as like the mark of the beast. I won't be merging with the cloud. And I'm all too willing to be like a panhandler with nothing. In the future, if that's what it comes down to, but I will never be putting the RFID chip in my skin. I will never do it. This idea of it being a form of evolution is interesting to me.
Well, okay, and I wanted to get back to that. You had said that, you know, Elon Musk is a ghoul, but is he a ghoul if that is where we were going as a human race, that long term, that's part of our evolutionary process? Is there any part of you that could see that this is how we evolve? Like, this is our path.
So, yeah, if you're looking at evolution as You know, the species improves over time in order it has to adapt in order to survive. I don't view merging with machines as having to adapt in order to survive.
Yet.
Well, again, and this idea of voluntary evolution, I don't agree with that. It's like, well, when has evolution been a voluntary thing? The whales couldn't choose to lose their legs and swim in the sea only henceforth.
But maybe, okay, fair enough. But maybe part of the evolutionary process is, so, okay, let's say you look at dogs or any kind of animal that has evolved to some form over time. Man has evolved in some shape or form or fashion over time.
Some of us, more than others. The ones who say, excuse me, we're more evolved.
Yeah, let's note you struggled with that just a couple moments ago. While being recorded, actually.
Yeah, I know, by your contacts.
Right. So is it to a point now where we have evolved as man, where we can now control our own evolution? Where we know where there are some of us, like an Elon Musk, who knows where it's supposed to go. And he is the alpha that is. Look, I'm not a fan of this. I'm just thinking when someone put out there that, well, maybe this is part of evolution. I was like, oh, it's got to be a part of something because it's so crazy to you or I that somebody would look at this and not see a problem. For example.
But we're alone in that. Other people look at it like, well, wait a second. If certain human beings have chosen to better themselves by, for example, going to higher education, going to college, being learned, and they wanted to better their employment opportunities and their mind and la 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 and spiritual side and all that. Like if they've chosen to better themselves in a way they were kind of evolving themselves voluntarily. And this is just like that. If you can become a supercomputer, why would you not choose to do that? They're going to look at us like, oh, God, Catholic or Christian kooks over here that see the mark of the beast and everything. I can't believe you would actually resist this unbelievable opportunity to become infinite, to become quantum.
Isn't that funny? You just even say that and that's stomach churning to me, to become infinite, like here on Earth. I can't imagine. You know, I have, of course, you know, you have fears of death. I had a fear of death this morning as I was participating in indoor rock wall climbing for the first time.
Awesome.
But you, when you just said it right there, I just thought, man, I guess if every... How would that work? You know, you just think like it just seemed, it would almost seem like a prison. It does seem like we're supposed to have a set time here. We come and we go and then it's the next thing. But that we would, what is it about this planet that you would want to be here forever? I guess if you're looking.
Well, right.
I don't know.
That's like the whole, like I look at this whole thing as like I'm here to kick some ass and hopefully make it into the next dimension. And there is where I'm going to be elevated and perfected, and I'll have infinite knowledge and happiness and wisdom and all of the things that I don't have in this dimension. And that's what I'm working toward here. And that's like the basis of like religions, except for the ones that, you know, the fake ones where you keep on being reborn in this one. Fake news. That stuff's fake news. That's the people that like worship nine-armed elephants. You know what I'm talking about. No, but I mean, we all think that we're this life is just one big proving ground for the next life, which is going to be even cooler. And so for these humans or these, you know, engineers to be coming along and being like, no, you can have that right now. And you don't have, all you need is money or you need to know someone. You don't need to do anything right. There's no God who's going to give that to you. Actually, there is. His name's Elon. He's going to give it to you for $1 million. It like flies in the face of like all human existence and spirituality to date.
Right.
And that's what freaks me out about the whole, you know, conversation, honestly.
Why? That this is not a thing of...
It is like playing God. It's like Elon Musk is playing God. He's going to give you salvation. He's going to sell it to you. He can create it for you. He's an engineer of it.
Well, now, in that article, when he's saying you have to merge with machines, you have to merge with artificial intelligence, he says that we can become infinite and live forever?
Well, not in this particular article, okay. But I mean, I've seen the talks and I've read the articles and so forth, and we share this stuff all the time, like daily, to the right. point where people have been like, I like it when you talk about Chicago. I don't like it when you talk about the futurism. But I don't know how you can like separate that from really any other discussion. Politics, sports, war, life, everything is now being impacted by technology to such a blurring, disturbing in some cases degree. I mean, it's exciting on the one hand, but it does have its disturbing side. And when people are literally being like, no, give me the chip and hook it up to my credit card so I can get chips at a vending machine, easier, right. because right. it was such a burden to get them before, the regular way.
Right.
That's bizarre. And, of course, that RFID chip also impacts, every time you go to the vending machine, it's going on your permanent record, and now it's going to impact your health insurance policy and your life insurance policy.
Yes, I can absolutely see that.
Right. So they're starting to kind of tighten the noose around you, where there's perks, but it also does have an impact, and we're going to start to trickle that into your consciousness here and there until you get used to it.
Would it possibly bring? Is there a potential that it could bring about a positive, and that it would make us more honest as people, knowing that as I'm talking to you, you are talking to me. I don't know that we're not being recorded. It sounds like almost kind of Nazi Germany. You don't know who's who and who's watching you.
Right.
But like at any moment, like if you were, having an affair, and that someone.
Awesome.
But you don't know that you're not being set up. You don't know that you're not being recorded and that everything is being...
And that's what makes it so gosh darn exciting, Jones.
I guess.
Well,
I
and that's so the place I work in, there are people that literally will say to you, like, of course, everything we say here is being recorded by video and audio, so, and they'll roll their eyes. And I just go like, oh, yeah, I mean, I guess if they really want to sit there and pore over, 1,000 people... working 8 hours a day all the time. I mean, I guess I look at it more like, yeah, it's probably being recorded, but they're not going to go to the tape unless there's a reason to. So BFD. And so I guess I've already kind of come to grips with that. And I go like, oh, I want the job. So I'm going to live with that. And I guess everywhere you go, you're using your iPass, you're scanning something, you're using your debit card, you're voluntarily exposing yourself to all of the surveillance state all the time anyway, under the guise of convenience.
Right.
So again, you're right. It's like it is very, very sneaky the way they put it into our lives like that. It is like being in a pot of boiling water and you don't realize that you're being boiled to death until it's too late.
Yes.
So they've been turning up the heat for 20 years or more.
But it does seem like it's happening at a faster rate now.
Yeah. And that's why I think like by the time you and I are like, 55, 65, we will lose jobs because we have chosen not to get the chips, merge right. with the cloud, become better.
But it will seem for us, though, having that happen at 60, 65 would seem more normal where it's like, well, they're getting to that age anyway, where they're just supposed to step back or take that part-time job or whatever.
Well, that's the thing, though. That's going to be the insanity, dude, because my kids, I can see it already. They will be having they'll be having talks with me like, Dad, you could be with us forever. We're all going to live forever. We've all merged with the cloud. For whatever reason, you're just being stubborn. Why are you living in this tin shack out here in the woods, Dad, off the grid? Why are you being such a kook? Just come with us. Stop being the old codger who wants to do things the old way. The old way is dead. Be right. with us forever. Merge with the cloud. Plug into the Matrix, Dad. Yeah. And I'll be, no, it's the mark of the beast. I'll be like the crazy old man. So that's
with the appropriate amount of ear hair poking out.
That's right. That's right. And they'll be like, oh, did Dad just fart again? Dad just farted, didn't he? And this time, not even an excuse me. It's disconcerting. At least you won't have that necessarily.
That's true.
As it stands today, you won't have the kids doing the intervention.
Well, who knows what the future holds, Mike?
I want to hear about your indoor rock climbing, dude. Could it be Could it be the anti-aging secret that we're all always looking for on this show?
It could be. It's the anti-AI secret, getting your body out there and just doing it on your own.
In a world of beaten down middle-aged men,
frizzy panty waists,
and triggered snowflakes,
two dudes
say the shit you say,
think,
and feel.
And now,
we're ready to blow this shit up.
Announcing Jones and Mike version 2.0.
Coming to a phone,
car,
or computer near you.
Live video and audio.
Anywhere you are.
Any way you like it.
Anytime you need it.
Words that sear through your mind like tiny little missiles of brutal truth
that make you go,
Or
freeing men from the malaise of middle age,
giving women the straight dope on what their dudes think.
It's the sh** dudes say
that women want to hear.
Go to www.patreon.com/Jones and Mike.
P-A-T-R-E-O-N.
Patreon.com/Jones and Mike.
Support the show.
Join our community.
Get rewards.
And help save Spaceship Earth from the hordes of fake news bullshit artists.
Dude Say with Jones and Mike
launches when we reach our first goal of just $100 a month.
Get the show for not much dough.
Dude Say with Jones and Mike.
Rated M for mature audiences.
Coming soon.
Jones, I have really bad news for you. Going gray early means you are at an increased risk of suffering a heart attack, according to a new study. Yeah, this is in the Telegraph. Going gray early increases heart attack risk, bro. Scientists have discovered that hair whitening can indicate an increased risk of damage to arteries supplying the heart with blood. It's all right here, bro.
I don't know if I'm buying that. I mean, well, first of all, I'm 43 years old, so I don't think it's that crazy that you start getting some grays. In fact,
I do.
I saw a guy I know that's 6 or 7 years younger than me today, and his head's almost all gray.
Oh,
happens.
His poor heart. Does he know how close to death he is?
Yeah, but look at Steve Martin. That guy's like 70, 71. Just had a kid a couple years ago. Still incredibly active,
yeah, that's
sharp,
reckless.
With it.
He had a kid a couple of years ago. He's 71.
Yeah.
Why do dudes do that?
Well, I don't know. If you have a kid, if all of a sudden the woman with your with goes, I'm pregnant, what are you going to do? Say I'm too old? Abort it?
No, but it's like, dude, that's the thing. It's like, it's not easy to have a child.
You say that, but it happens.
Well,
you say that because
you're just being reckless. No,
you're crazy.
No, like you just don't. There's ways to do things. There's ways not to do things.
Okay,
and
but
he's doing it the wrong
way.
Okay,
let's say he's 70. Let's
just
say 71. Okay, but at 65 years old, are you thinking to yourself,
you're just happy you're getting some.
Exactly.
You're not thinking about where you're
exactly.
going to put it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. 65 years old, you're not thinking that, oh, man, this could lead to a child. Not at that point, but then sometimes these things happen.
I have to make a dirty daisy here. I'm 65.
Yeah,
what am I doing?
No, you give that up at 65. You don't worry about that sort of thing. And sometimes, surprise, pregnancies can happen. And even for 25, 35-year-old people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is sometimes an unexpected pregnancy, Mike.
It's a blessing, frankly.
Oh,
he must be planning on merging with the cloud or something. Dudes like him and Larry King who have kids when they're like 90, it seems cruel to do to the kid. But that's a different scenario. So what you're saying is, no. Look at Steve Martin. White hair, totally robust.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
Exactly.
And so you're saying that your white hair has nothing to do with your robustness. And I will agree with that. Because this week, you put me to shame. You are the beast mode of this show.
And that was not my goal this week. I was just living my life.
And let's be honest, it's not that hard to put me to physical shame. But I bow to you, sir.
Oh, stop.
Last week, I went, oh, yeah, I did 1,001 push-ups for a whole week, which I'm sure some people were like, yeah, little puss, that's ridiculous. Can't believe you're admitting that publicly. And I'm sure other people were like, cool, I could do 36. Like one dude in the push-up challenge in our office did 36 for the whole week. So compared to him, I'm like a He-Man. Like compared to many, I'm a complete little wimp. Compared to you, I'm like a little boy.
Right.
You went, oh, okay, cool. I want to try a body weight challenge. And I'm going to, you know, what were you doing? I was like, oh, like 200. You know, you're like, okay, cool. I'm going to do 300 push-ups a day and then kind of Herschel Walker it and do 300 sit-ups, 300 dips, which they weren't the dips between two bars. You were going like
the chair dips.
Tricep dips onto a bench or a chair.
Yeah.
But still, like after 300 push-ups, you did 300 of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's awesome. And then you capped it off with 300 squats and then 25 pull-ups. You wanted to go lighter on the pull-ups because you've had neck and back problems.
Neck and back. The pull-ups always are tricky for me. So then I would do a flat back push-up, or I'm sorry, pull-up. So I would do 25 total pull-ups. But then on the other days, I would do 75 total flat back pull-ups where you're under a barbell. And then you're just pulling yourself up from the
Up. Right.
So it's more of just your, it's not necessarily your lats, but more of just your rear and mid back.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And so what is it? 1275 was your total reps?
1275 was the total reps.
A day.
It veered from 1225 to 1275. But I'll tell you what saved me,
I
think what made the difference was I did yoga each night for about 20, 25 minutes afterwards. I think that takes out all the lactic acid, gets your flexibility, keeps everything, all your joint mobility loose. I'm telling you, yoga is an amazing thing.
It's a hidden secret.
It really is.
Pick to click.
It seems like this weird, strange thing that you shouldn't do, or it's not masculine.
Kind of wimpy, but no.
20 minutes of, I'm telling you, 20 minutes of yoga, it's been amazing.
Wow.
Yes.
And then we also speculated that you have shorter limbs and maybe that had
for
some
body
impact.
Weight, I have to imagine that doesn't hurt, that I have shorter limbs, so I don't...
Or a smaller body. I think if you're lighter, you can probably do pull-ups a little bit easier.
Yeah, and the hinge points aren't as far away and all of that. So no,
but
that
still,
does have to play a role.
That does not diminish the 1275.
Well, thank you.
Of course, when you call it the Herschel Walker workout, it seems laughable. When he's doing 3,500 push-ups,
right,
3,000 sit-ups. But you're like a mini Herschel Walker, dude, I believe. And I believe you will get to, if you wanted to, the 3,500 push-ups and all of that.
I'm curious to push it to that level. Yeah, to see, could I do that? Could I get to a Herschel Walker level? That would seem like it would take some time, though.
Like years. Years. Yeah. But, I mean, over 10 years, I think if that's your goal,
you could absolutely
get there.
Yes.
Now, what is this new anti-aging panacea that you have unveiled? Especially since I love how I'm in like the armpit of America in Rockford today, literally, but using it as a teaching moment to tell my son, like, look, man, like, this is America. What you see, this is most of America. Where we live, it's like an ivory tower, and Chicago in general is a pretty nice place, but like most of America looks like Rockford. It's
right.
Beaten down. The infrastructure is kind of rusted out. The jobs are gone. There's liquor stores. There's slot machine signs blinking in tavern windows. And there's just a lot of like sadness, honestly. There's just, I don't mean to paint a bleak picture, bro, but it's kind of America's seen better days in many, many parts.
I would agree with that.
Rockford is similar to Peoria, is similar to St. Louis, is similar to Detroit and Cleveland. And, you know, so, and I don't do a lot of traveling, but I talk to a lot of salespeople and people that do a lot of traveling. And so I use it as an example to show him that, like, this is the life that we've given you is not necessarily life.
Right.
And then you're like, then you come over, Uncle Brian comes over, and you regale us with tales that, like, blow our minds of the life that you're living.
Wow. I think that's a little strong.
So today, while I'm in the armpit of America, you're unlocking the panacea of anti-aging by indoor rock climbing. Not that that's such a big deal, but tell me about this.
So this morning I went with my sister and then another guy that lives in our building to this place, Brooklyn Boulders. It's out by the United Center in the West Loop area. So, dude, I went in there. I'd never done anything like this before. So here I have pictures of myself. So here I am at the bottom, like just about to start out. like just climbing. So you hook yourself up to this strap,
yeah,
and it's this automatic repelling device.
So they kind of test it while you're only 5 feet off the ground, like, see,
that's
you
what
can
they
trust
tell
this.
You to do. So yeah, so here, there I am. I'm only 10 feet up, and then here's the video of me. I've turned it down. I don't know. Maybe I should bring the audio up.
Yeah, just let's hear it, especially if you scream.
I don't, but you can hear like that. Has it. So I'm about 10 feet up because you can still see the little warning markers. And maybe I'm like 7 or 8 feet up. So here I am. And you see me, they're saying, just go down. I'm like, let go and go down just to test it.
Yeah. You really want me to try this? Yeah, you don't want to do it.
I don't want to do it. It's so against your instincts. So then I think I go, I climb up a little bit more because I think I want to give the device time to catch. Okay, yeah, so then they don't get me rappelling down. So actually then, here I am, though. I do have it where I'm finally rappelling down after my climb.
Oh, that looks like fun.
Yeah, and you can see, like, I'm just totally tech. So here I am. This is me at the top. So you're, like, 5.5 stories up.
Oh, my God.
Once you get to the top, and you're just climbing around.
I don't know if
that's for me. So I don't think it's for you. And I was actually climbing in about, when I was about 3 stories up, I did think to myself, I'm like, my Mike would never want to do this. Because you're climbing, and it's only your fingers and, like, your toes digging into these little nooks as you're trying to climb up this wall, and your forearms are burning. And there's a whole trick of where they want you to really keep your forearm, your arms straight. So you're not, like, you want to strategically,
you're not flexing your,
yes, because that's causing all the tension that kind of builds up in your arm.
Lactic acid.
So, but you, so there's a strategy to it. So as you're climbing up, like, there were several times where I climbed up and I was like, damn it, I went up the run. I've messed up. I shouldn't have gone this way.
stupid Jones.
Right. Well, now, so they have, you saw there all the little things that are standing out of the, that are poking out of the wall that allow you to climb up, but they're different colors. There's red, there's black, there's yellow. Like, the black's the easiest, then green and yellow and orange and red. It builds up.
Right.
And you would be going up a certain path and you'd realize you'd chosen poorly, maybe even for particularly for your body type, because, for some people there were areas where it was maybe easier for a taller person to kind of use their limbs and get across. But you'd get to a certain area and you'd be like, oh man, what the hell do I do? My legs are burning. You're like 3 or 4 stories up.
Oh my
and
God.
And you're thinking, you know, and that's the thing where I realized at one point, like, so I did a couple of these climbs and my final climb was on a tougher, like the brown and red level, which was supposed to be tougher. I got about 85% up the wall and then I just got to a point where I was like, I couldn't figure it out because the little nubs were too small for me to really grab or do anything with. And I'm like, I just thought to myself, like, man, someone could really get to this point and just shut down. Because it's not like it's – you can't just power through it. It's not like you're just lifting weights and you're
right.
Going, come on, go, go, go.
Right,
you
right.
have to think through it to get to a certain point. So when I was – the first time I was doing it and I was thinking of you and I'm thinking to myself, like, don't look down. Because that's the other thing too. You know, you don't want to look down or you take a little look down, you're kind of okay. And then there were other things where they would suggest where it's all right if you're climbing up to, you know, go straight arms and just hang back a little bit.
Right.
Just shake one arm out, shake the other arm out.
Do a little yoga.
But while you're – yeah, but that's the thing. Like, so it really is better if you kind of hang off the wall. But once you're climbing up, your instinct is to –
right.
Just stay glued to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Against anything you can hold on to. So, oh, dude, it was crazy. I would totally suggest bringing the kids to it, though. I think they might love it.
Huh.
And you don't have to do – I was just going on the ones where they had the automatic rappelling cables. Most of it is you have another certified person on the ground. So you always feel the weight of someone as you're climbing.
Yeah.
It's not pushing you up, but at least you feel like you're being held.
And is
like
that person coaching you at all? Like
they can.
Yeah.
Not, but most times they just let you figure it out. That's part of the process. But then they would have like some of the walls would jet backwards. Now, I didn't do those. But so you would be climbing up. Straight up.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
yeah.
All of a sudden you would have to go back to where now your back is almost parallel to the ground and you're climbing around to start going up again. And that was kind of crazy as well. I did some of those climbs when it was lower on the ground and then you could just fall into this cushion. But even that felt uncomfortable to do, man. But it was a scene. And the thing that was also crazy about this is they have a yoga studio in there, a free weight gym. And then they also had an area. We got to go and we went for free because one of my sister's friends who's moving to California and work there, she kind of pulled some of her people aside and said, hey, look, I want some of my friends to come in for free. I'm just going to let them do this stuff. It's my last day. So they did. And that was cool. But as we're walking
best
around.
Best life ever. You're leading.
It's not bad. So as we were walking around and she was giving us this tour, she goes, and then this is the day workers station. And I was like, day workers station? Like, you mean the people who work during the day have all these awesome chairs to sit in and little, you know, like little coffee house setups with like the little plug in for your laptop. I'm like, that's kind of weird. She's like, no, no, people come here during the day. Like they'll come in the morning, work out. And then they'll just, if they're one of those work from home people, they just stay at Brooklyn Boulders all day working and then maybe go do a rock climb at lunch and then go back to work.
Really?
And then they stay there all day.
Dude, that's what you need to do.
That did
you
sound
You need a
really
job
cool.
like that,
Yes,
bro.
That did sound very cool. I would
I
be
bet
very
that's
tempted.
Where the pukes who work at my place, like they probably do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Ooh, I hate them.
Yeah.
So at the top of the wall, your reward is to be 60 feet up in the air or something, 55 feet in the air.
Yep, yep.
And then you have to rappel down.
Then you have to jump off.
And there's not really a feasible way to like reverse course.
You could try to climb down, and I'm sure people do it for more of a workout, but at that point, you're kind of taxed. And that's why when you saw in the video where I was climbing up and like looking back, like, let go now? Like you, I suggest that to anybody that does want to try it. Climb up about 7 to 10 feet and then rappel and get that feeling of the system catching you.
Wow.
Because you don't want to just have your first time where you go, okay, I guess I trust this thing, and you're 5 and a half stories above the ground.
And you were, and you, so you characterize this as like working out, but with fear motivating you?
Yes. It was just a different dynamic. I've never been that scared working out before. Because even if you go like do a sport, like let's say you're going to play a hockey game, soccer game, basketball game, like I'm kind of nervous going into this game.
Sure, sure.
Once you start playing, you forget about it. But if you're, if you were scared or a little hesitant or nervous or anxious about doing an indoor rock climb and you get about halfway through it, that nervousness and that anxiety is still with you. It's not like, oh, rock climbing, I know what I'm doing. You know, it sticks with you until you get to the top and then you're like, okay, I guess I let go. And it was, and then so I would, the first couple times I did it, you know, you just let go, but then you grab the rope as though you think you could somehow hold yourself.
Oh yeah,
you know?
Dude.
And then you let yourself go. Oh, it was a crazy scene, man. But it was cool.
So
it was
the rappelling cool. down, like there's nothing that you literally do. Someone's doing it for you.
No, no, no. You have, okay, so there's two things. You can do the automated rappelling, or you can do it where there's another certified person doing it with you.
Right,
so since
right.
we were just together on ourselves, we only did the runs that had the automatic rappelling.
Oh, okay.
So I just was jumping off and then trusting that the thing would catch.
Oh,
then there
man.
Was another thing. There was oh, another one. There's actually a third one where you do the two-man rappelling system. Not two-man, but one's climbing and one's on the ground, and they're kind of feeding the cable, and they'll catch you if you fall. But then they were doing it in a way where they're simulating a real rock climb. So you climb up, and you get, let's say you go 10, 15 feet. And then you lock and tie the rope into that.
Oh, cool.
And then you continue to climb up.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
lock
I
and
like
rope
that,
in
dude.
And keep doing. But here's the thing. If you fall, let's say you're doing it every 15 feet, which is over one story, right? So if you did it like four times and then you're getting to the top and then all of a sudden you lose it and fall, that thing will not catch you until you pass the point falling of where you've set up the rappellings, the rappelling point. So if you're five stories up and the last time that you locked in was four stories, you free fall for that story and a half completely.
Yeah, okay. So that
until it catches you.
There's a little bit of a give there, right?
No, well, what do you mean?
It's not going to like hurt your back or anything.
No, it's not going to hurt your back, but that feeling of pure free fall. Like there, even in the automatic rappelling, as soon as you jump back, you're like, oh my God, this was stupid. And then within like a half a second, you feel the weighted cug where you know, okay, this thing's catching me. But if you're doing that, like the simulated mountain climb, that's just pure free fall.
Yeah, yeah.
For maybe a story or two. Until you feel that hug of body weight.
So you
Otherwise,
do not
you're just
want
falling.
That. You don't want
no,
that.
No, I don't think I'll ever build up to that. I wouldn't, no way.
You know, speaking of 50 feet and falling, did you see the video of the maid in Kuwait that was filmed by her master, I guess you'd say, as she was dangling off of the balcony? Did you see this video, dude? Watch this video, bro. Like, this rich person in Kuwait, like, happens upon... You know, as the story goes that she told, happens upon her maid trying to kill herself. The maid, of course, said, no, that's not what happened. But check this out, dude. Look at the video. The master is filming it.
Yes.
And the maid is dangling by one, like, arm off the balcony and, like, begging her to help her, and the Kuwaiti master, like, doesn't help her.
Okay,
and films the whole thing.
Before you start it again.
Yes.
How would she have gotten out there?
There are conflicting reports, Jones.
Okay,
watch the maid. And, of course, like, so the balcony has, like, a glass.
Yeah.
So you can see the fear in this maid's eyes, too, as she's begging the Kuwaiti master to help her. And the Kuwaiti broad is just standing there with, like, an iPhone in her hand filming it.
That was me.
Yeah.
Five and a half
stories. So one arm. And
whoa.
Then she falls. And then she falls. Listen. Oh, okay. So they've abridged the video. Now they show the maid actually survived it. You hear in the video that I first saw earlier this week, dude,
there was
like a thump of her like landing on like the hotel like roof below and like thump. And like you think like, oh my God, there's going to be splatter. There's going to be brain matter. How long is this video going to go? I'm horrified. All of these emotions. And then I read in the comments that she survived. And I'm like, how the hell did she survive? She's got to be paralyzed. At the end of this video that I displayed for you there, they show like the fire department like getting her off of that little mini roof that she landed on.
Good Lord.
Yeah, really. I mean, here it is again, dude. Unbelievable. The fear in her eyes. The master. What are you doing out there, maid?
But.
And she's thinking like, why aren't you helping me? Let go of your iPhone.
How would she get... It looks like it's an enclosed window. How? I don't know that... I'm not defending this woman. I'm just trying to figure out how did she get
there?
She's
been arrested by authorities.
Who?
For not the Kuwaiti woman for not helping. And of course they have like a big problem of like Kuwaiti masters like abusing the help over there. So apparently there was enough evidence for Kuwaiti authorities to be like, we got to bring you in for this one.
Isn't that crazy?
You didn't help her and you filmed it? Like even we can't look the other way on that one.
And in America, we pay good money to have that experience, and we call it fitness.
Totally. In fact,
it's
you're thinking you
world.
Unlocked, like, you're going to reverse the effects of your gray hair with that rock climbing.
Had she just done some body weight training.
Totally.
Maybe there could have been a different outcome. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm not saying she deserved it. I think she was wronged. But had she just done a little bit more body weight training?
It's a whole new market for the Jones and Mike body weight workout routine ebook that we're putting together. We could be selling this
ebook and video. People want to see us do
That's right. Kuwaiti maids will be our first market for this.
I'm telling you, that could have changed everything. Everything, Mike.
Jones, I want to thank Larry Rowland for becoming our first VIP patron at patreon.com/JonesandMike. Colleen Ivancic, Jennifer Wiley, Eileen Jones, Eleni Stephanopoulos, and Jeff Goodall. They're our patrons that have signed up in the last couple of weeks. So go to patreon.com/JonesandMike and be part of the media revolution that we're building.
Yes. The anti-AI... Humans
right.
are the best carbonated creatures forever.
That's right.
Let's support mankind and proper communication among the masses.
Giving you the key to reverse the effects of your gray hair. All the work, all the hard work we do week in and week out, Jones, it's worth a dollar if it's worth anything.
It's worth a dollar. Absolutely worth a dollar.
Give till it hurts.
And then give more.
In a world of beaten down middle-aged men,
frizzy panty waists,
and triggered snowflakes,
two dudes
say the shit you say,
think,
and feel.
And now,
we're ready to blow this shit up.
Announcing Jones and Mike
version 2.0.
Coming to a phone,
car,
or computer near you.
Live video and audio.
Anywhere you are.
Anywhere you like it.
Anytime you need it.
Words that sear through your mind like tiny little missiles of brutal truth
that make you go,
Or freeing men from the malaise of middle age.
Giving women the straight dope on what their dudes think.
It's the sh** dudes say
that women want to hear.
Go to www.patreon.com/Jones and Mike.
P-A-T-R-E-O-N.
Patreon.com/Jones and Mike.
Support the show.
Join our community.
Get rewards.
And help save Spaceship Earth from the hordes of fake news bullshit artists.
Dude Say with Jones and Mike
launches when we reach our first goal of just $100 a month.
Get the show for not much dough.
Dude Say with Jones and Mike.
Rated M for mature audiences.
Coming soon.